Well, congratulations. Here we are. And as you remember, maybe you do, maybe you don't. If I was in your place, I wouldn't remember. But the message that we started with in Luke chapter 1 was my even though. And I was thinking, you know, anyway, that was a title, even though. And we went through the characters and the scenes in Luke 24. Well, I'm thinking as I'm sitting in my car praying, and all of a sudden it's kind of like, hey, even though Jesus died, the story isn't finished. God had a plan, and Jesus knew all along exactly what was going to happen. But we have a chapter tonight that isn't the title tonight, but what I wanted to think about tonight is it's celebration time. We're celebrating that we study the whole book of Luke together this year, but we're also celebrating because Jesus is alive, which is the greatest cause of celebration. And I was remembering, too, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture, as I was reading Luke 24, Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. That could be another title of chapter 24. By many infallible proofs, Jesus proved himself as conqueror over death, over sin, over Satan, and the bondage that we had in our lives because Jesus is alive. So let's open in prayer, and I have tonight for you, because it helps me, a bunch of words that start with the letter C. Not S-E-E, but the letter C, A-B-C. So hopefully it will minister to you. That is my prayer and my desire to do that as we share the word together tonight. Father, we do thank you for bringing us here. And Lord, we thank you for the book of Luke. What a powerful book it's been. And Jesus, we have seen you magnified again and again as we've studied this wonderful gospel together. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit who is here. And I was reminded again that Jesus, you came alongside and you walked with your disciples. And Lord, we invite you tonight and we welcome you and we thank you that you are here with us and that you've come alongside to teach us. You've come alongside to encourage us. You've come alongside to walk with us, not just here tonight, but every place that we walk, you are with us. How encouraging that is. And that's the reason we can go on. And that's the reason we can truly celebrate. Tonight is a time to celebrate. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, celebration time. Celebration time for believers. If we capture the scenes through this chapter, we too will be able to celebrate together. There's three main scenes in the Gospel of Luke 24. And we see, first of all, and I mentioned it even just moments ago in an overview, Jesus conquered death. He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered the grave. And of course, he conquered death. And as the angel spoke to the women who came to the tomb, he is not here. He is risen. And so, really, that changes everything. And our life, and my life, and your life, when we know that Jesus is alive, that he conquered death, it makes a difference in our lives. And that's a wonderful truth that we need to hold on to. I think for me, I know he's alive, but on a day-to-day basis, I'm not as conscious of it as I should be. I need to wrap my mind around it more and be more in tune with the Spirit and be more aware that Jesus is with me, that Jesus not only is with me, but he lives in me through the person of the Holy Spirit. So when the women came early that Sunday morning, they were wounded. Their hearts were discouraged, and yet they came. And when they came, Jesus had a message for them. through the angels. So the angels conveyed hope to the women as they came to the tomb, verses 1 through 7 there. So he also reminded them, remember what Jesus had said to you earlier, that he would suffer, that he would die, but that he would be raised again. So they must have been very excited, and they ran back to tell the disciples what had happened, that they had seen an angel. So then the next scene we see is scene 2, where Jesus meets up with the two men, I guess men, we assume they're men. I read one commentary a long time ago that they thought it might be a husband and wife because one is not named. But I don't know. We don't know who they were. But they were two followers of Jesus. And so as Jesus came to them, he communicated with them. And as a companion and as a, he communed as he communicated with them. And Jesus communicates with you and me too. He communicates out of his word and through the inner voice of the Spirit. So Jesus wants to come alongside and communicate with us. He makes the very best companion that you and I can have. As most of you know, I am a widow and I live alone, but I really am not alone because Jesus is my constant companion. He is the one who is with me all the time, and he accompanies me wherever I go. So as the old song goes, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. So that's what this reminded me of when at the beginning when we see the two men, and they were dejected, they were confused, they were just perplexed at what had going on. And of course, that's the conversation they were having as Jesus walked along with them. And so then as he began to ask them questions, then he also then began to counsel them, and he clarified with them the message that he came. And he, in a sense, he even corrected their perspective. And so I see all those things there as he opened the eyes, as we sang tonight, open the eyes of my heart. Well, he opened their eyes that they might see the truth. And so you and I, when we wake up in the morning, when we walk through the day, we need to welcome Jesus, and we need to listen to his words, the message, because Jesus both listens and speaks to us. Most of the time with me, I think he's doing most listening because I'm not doing as much listening as I am talking. But he does listen, and that's a beautiful gift, and I totally appreciate that so much because actually, I understand that when you go to a professional counselor, most of the time they're listening. They really don't say a whole lot. And so there's therapy. It's therapeutic to have someone who cares and has wisdom to listen. And that's what Jesus does. But he still communicates with us. And so as they continue, he conversed and he consoled the disciples. And he also did that in the next scene, the third scene, when when the disciples, men from Emmaus, once that Jesus broke the bread and they recognized him, he disappeared. But then they ran to tell the disciples, the 11, about what they had experienced and how Jesus had appeared to them and had showed them who he was. And so they had seen the risen Lord. But then when he entered the room where the 11 were locked in, they were fearful, and they too were discouraged and hopeless. But again, think about the condition that each of these individuals were when they encountered Jesus, their emotional state, and Jesus changed everything once they encountered him. Because the first thing that he said to them was what? What did he say when he entered the room? Peace be with you. So Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring comfort. He consoled them in their misery. And then he confronted them and he convinced them of who he was, even as he had convinced the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Jesus convinced them who he was. And then as we move on in verse 44 and 46, again, I'm just highlighting these things that happened through this chapter. He confirmed the word of prophecy. Remember, he had said to three times, first through the angel, and then through the, when Jesus walked with them, he confirmed that did not the Savior, have the Messiah, have to suffer and die. He confirmed that prophecy. And then again, the third time in the third scene, he said to them, and let me flip my page over here. I believe it's verse 44. He said, it's 46. Thus it was written, and thus it's necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day. He confirmed the gospel message three different times to the men and the women that he had previously spoken about. And so obviously they must have just totally forgotten that part, or else the Holy Spirit just hadn't illumined their mind with understanding. So again, then he continued to comfort in every scene. In a sense, they were comforted, because when Jesus is present, his presence brings his comfort, and Jesus' promise brings his comfort, because even in this passage here toward the end of the chapter, he talks about forgiveness. Because of the cross, there's forgiveness, and that promise and that truth is a comfort to us. And again and again, he said these things to them, and of course that changed their demeanor. Their attitudes in their hearts had a complete turnaround. So for you and me, believing in Jesus' resurrection, it removes the doubt. So I'm going to say a few things here. The doubt was replaced by faith. Despair was replaced with hope. Perplexity with understanding. Grief and sorrow was replaced by great joy. And their fear was replaced with boldness. That's the difference I want Jesus' resurrection to make in my life. And when it doesn't, it means something's off with my thinking and with my faith. That's just who we are. In our humanness, we forget that Jesus lives in us. We forget that he loves us. We forget that he's with us continuously, and that he has given us the power. A couple more C's. Next, Jesus commissioned them. He told them that they would be his witnesses. And even as they have been commissioned to witness in Luke 24, you and I have been commissioned, because he said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so you and I are ambassadors for Jesus. We have been commissioned by Jesus to give out the gospel, to share the testimony that he died for our sins, that he rose from the grave, and that we have been forgiven and we have been born again. That is the gospel. So you and I are to take the message of the gospel wherever we go, even as they were, starting where they lived and moving out into the uttermost parts of the world. So after he commissioned them, then one of the versions of the Bible said he promised he wanted them to go to the upper room and wait until he clothed them with power. I think it's the Holman that used that. It might even be the ESV too. That he clothed them with power. So there's another powerful C. Because he didn't send you and I out. He didn't send them out without the power to do it. And that is good news. That makes us celebrate, right? When we know we have the power because we've been clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. So as a Holy Spirit equipped saints, we can share the message of the gospel. We can tell others that Jesus is alive. And then the very end of the chapter, what happened? Verse 54 said Jesus was carried up into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, unequaled in power, and resurrected, alive, and ever making intercession for us at the right hand of God the Father, exalted. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has been carried up into heaven. And more detail comes through Acts chapter 1, 9, and 10, where he speaks again the promise and the hope. And then I thought of the last sea. He said he's coming again. So the story isn't over. He is coming again. What a glorious day. And that'll be an immense time of celebration. But today we can still celebrate because Jesus is alive. And so when I think about that, it reminded me that as we walk with Jesus, as Jesus himself comes alongside you and me on a daily basis, he walks with you and he walks with me to continually convey hope, to communicate, to commune with you, to be your companion, to counsel you, to correct you, to converse with you, to console you, to confront you when we're wrong, to convince you of his presence and of his truth and of his love, to confirm his word again and again, to comfort and change our hearts, to commission us and to clothe us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said, all these things that were written must be fulfilled. So tonight, ladies, let's celebrate because Jesus has come and he has now ascended and he is coming again for you and for me. Lord God, we thank you for the words that you did, that you've done through the power of the word, the living word, Jesus himself. Thank you that you thought of everything. Father God, your plan is perfect and complete. And yet we still anticipate the glorious end of the prophetic word as we wait for Jesus to come again and all that you have planned for eternity. Lord, we see it unfold through the book of Luke as we've prepared, as we've studied your word, and as you have prepared our hearts, as you've come alongside us, as you live inside us. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing yourself to us through your word. We thank you for paying the penalty for our sin, for dying in our place. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we belong to you. You have bought and paid for us with the price of your blood. We thank you that you did not leave us as orphans, that you've sent your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the privilege of walking with you and talking with you. We thank you for the commission that we've received, Lord, that we are to be your witnesses. You've gifted us with the power of the Holy Spirit to do just what you've called us to do. Thank you for this company of women, Lord, and I pray that tonight they'll remember what you've done and that they will be faithful to walk with you and to allow you to continue to conform them into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, amen.